Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Pete Musto, Katie Weaver, Brian Lynn, and John Russell. Later, Jill Robbins and John Russell will bring us this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, here is Pete Musto.
United States lawmakers stood with undocumented Asian American immigrants earlier this week to show support for the young students and workers living in the country. Their future is uncertain after President Donald Trump's administration announced plans to cancel the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, program. Former President Barack Obama's administration created the program in 2012. It permits people who entered the country illegally as children to stay in the country to work or study. More than 800,000 young people are part of the program. They are sometimes called Dreamers.
California Representative Judy Chu is the head of the Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus. The group of politicians supports Asian American interests. She led a news conference on Tuesday outside the U.S. Capitol building in Washington, D.C. She said, "We are here to fight for the 800,000 Dreamers, including the 130,000 Asian American Pacific Islander Dreamers who were brought to this country as children through no fault of their own. That is the number of Asian immigrants in the United States who are eligible to apply for the DACA program, according to Obama's administration." The National Council of Asian Pacific Americans says that about 16,000 Asian American Pacific Islanders are part of the DACA program.
Chirayu Patel formed the DACA Network, an organization that provides information and legal resources for DACA recipients. He said at the news conference this week, "I am a dreamer, and the U.S. is the only country I have ever known." U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced on September 5th that the government would no longer accept new DACA applications. Congressional lawmakers now have 6 months to act if they want to continue to permit current DACA recipients to stay in the U.S. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and other political leaders stood with Judy Chu and Chirayu Patel on Tuesday. They did so to urge Congress to pass a piece of legislation that would provide DACA recipients with a more permanent path to staying in the U.S.
Representative Pramila Jayapal of Washington State is the first South Asian American woman elected to Congress. She told VOA, "It's not just one group of people that's affected by this. It really is communities across the country, Africans, AAPIs, Latinos." Researchers at AAPI Data and the Center for Migration Studies report that 1 in 7 Asian immigrants in the U.S. is undocumented. And Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders are the fastest growing undocumented population in the United States. Karthik Ramakrishnan is a public policy professor at the University of California, Riverside. He is also the director of AAPI Data. He told VOA, "Most people are blown away when they learn this. Of the 130,000 Asian immigrants said to be eligible for the DACA program, relatively few have actually applied." Jayapal said, "There are a lot of AAPI dreamers who have not stepped up and applied for DACA status. We want to make sure that the AAPI community knows exactly what is still available to them and that they get involved."
Several organizations work to share information and provide support to the community in a number of different languages. The National Korean American Service and Education Consortium is one of them. It helped Jungbin Cho apply for DACA protection. Cho moved to the U.S. state of Virginia when he was 7 years old. He told his story at the Capitol on Tuesday. He explained the importance of the Asian American and Hispanic communities in the United States working together. He said the two groups must work together to push Congress to pass legislation that would protect them both. "I'm putting another voice out there that's very important," Cho told VOA, hoping to make it clear that not all DACA recipients are from Latin America. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
The United States has barred federal agencies from using computer security products made by the company Kaspersky Lab. Elaine Duke is the acting secretary of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. She announced the order Wednesday. Agencies will have 90 days to remove the computer software from their systems. In a statement, the department said the action was taken because of information security risks presented by the use of Kaspersky products on federal information systems. The statement added that U.S. officials were concerned about ties between certain Kaspersky officials and Russian intelligence and other government agencies. It said the U.S. identified a risk that the Russian government might be able to use Kaspersky products to gain access to federal information systems. This risk directly implicates U.S. national security, the statement said. Kaspersky Lab makes computer programs that are designed to protect computers from attacks such as computer viruses. It also oversees security for computer systems. The international cybersecurity company has its headquarters in Moscow. Robert Joyce is the cybersecurity coordinator for the administration of U.S. President Donald Trump. He was asked if U.S. officials had identified clear evidence that Kaspersky Lab had provided intelligence to the Russian government. Joyce told a reporter from Reuters news agency that as we evaluated the technology, we decided it was a risk we couldn't accept. In a statement, Kaspersky Lab rejected the accusations as false and said it was disappointed with the decision. The company has repeatedly denied it has ties to any government and says it would not assist governments with cyber espionage activities. The statement said no credible evidence has been shown to support the U.S. government's conclusion. It blamed the criticism on misunderstandings about how Russian laws about information sharing work. Kaspersky Lab also said it was concerned that a private company can be considered guilty until proven innocent due to geopolitical issues. The company added that it looks forward to working with the Department of Homeland Security to deal with the concerns. The federal directive came hours after the top U.S. intelligence official warned that Russia has increased its cyber operations against the United States. Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats told a cybersecurity gathering that Russia is increasing cyber espionage operations and leaking data stolen from those operations. Coates said enemies of the U.S. can use the internet as a tool to amplify and strengthen information by repeating messages many times. He said these efforts seek to undermine our faith in our institutions or advance violence in the name of identity. Top U.S. intelligence agencies said in a report in January that Russia took part in an influence campaign in the U.S. in an effort to help then-candidate Donald Trump win the 2016 election. Russian President Vladimir Putin has repeatedly denied his government had any involvement in trying to influence the American election. As president, Trump has repeatedly questioned the intelligence findings, suggesting at times it was unclear whether Russia was responsible. I'm Brian Lynn.
The number of young people who play American football decreased from 2008 to 2016, according to the Aspen Institute, a research center. There are many reasons for this decrease. But some parents, such as businessman Mark Cuban, will not let their children play the sport because of concerns about brain injuries. A recent study seems to support some of these concerns. It gives more evidence that too much American football is seriously damaging the brains of players. Scientists at the Brain Bank are studying a kind of brain injury known as chronic traumatic encephalopathy. The Brain Bank is a center at Boston University in Massachusetts where brains and other tissue are stored and studied. Chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE, is caused by collisions that push the brain around inside the skull. In a recent study, the scientists at the Brain Bank found high levels of CTE in dead football players. The scientists studied the brains of 202 former players. These athletes, who had donated their brains for research, played at high school, college, or professional levels. The scientists found CTE in 177 of the 202 brains. The scientists found especially high rates of CTE in the brains of former National Football League, or NFL, players. Out of the 111 former NFL players studied, 110 showed signs of CTE. Many of those found to have CTE suffered from behavioral or mood problems during their lifetimes. Many also suffered from dementia, too. Amy McKee is one of the lead researchers at the Brain Bank. She said CTE can affect even the brains of young people.
We can see spaces near the hippocampus, which is a part of the brain that's important for learning and for memory, and we can see that there's been shrinkage there as well. To see this in such a young individual is quite startling.
McKee says helmets can give some protection from CTE, but she explains that the risks are still great. They will never be the solution for CTE. They may make it less likely, but it is always going to be a risk once you have head contact, she said. McKee and her team are now looking for ways to diagnose CTE before a player dies. They are also looking for drugs that might treat it. I'm John Russell.
This is What's Trending Today. Singer Selena Gomez made her name acting in children's television shows. She was also singer Justin Bieber's girlfriend for a while. But recently, she is better known for her music. In fact, she has one of the top songs of the summer. Songwriter and DJ Kygo's song, It Ain't Me, features Gomez. It is ranked 20th on Billboard.com's current summer music chart. You might think Gomez would have been singing in concerts around the world or appearing on television shows to talk about her music. But instead, she was preparing for a serious medical procedure. Gomez is the world's most popular person on Instagram. She has over 125 million followers. On Thursday, she used Instagram to explain why she was laying low this summer. She posted a photo of herself in a hospital bed with her friend Francia Risa. She said she needed a kidney transplant because of the disease lupus. Gomez received a kidney from her friend. Humans are able to live without one of their two kidneys. Lupus is a condition that affects a person's immune system. An immune system that works well fights disease and viruses. According to the Mayo Clinic's website, lupus causes the body's immune system to attack its own organs and tissue. Organs affected by lupus include the kidneys, brain, heart, and lungs. Gomez thanked her doctors and her friend. She wrote that she looks forward to being able to tell the story about her experience sometime soon. She called Risa her sister and said donating a kidney was the ultimate gift and sacrifice. Risa is an actress and model. She appeared in a well-known television show called The Secret Life of the American Teenager. Many people reacted to Gomez's Instagram post. They offered support for Gomez, and they told Risa what a great thing she did by donating her kidney. One user, Ingrid Toledo, wrote, "Francia Risa, you deserve the sky. Thank you so much for everything that you did. You deserve all the love of the world." Gomez has been dealing with lupus for several years. In 2014, she had chemotherapy to treat the disease. And that's what's trending today.
In the 1998 film Saving Private Ryan, actor Tom Hanks plays the part of Captain Miller. The fictional Captain Miller was an English teacher before becoming a soldier and fighting in World War II. In one scene, Captain Miller describes how he has changed.
"So I guess I've changed some. Sometimes I wonder if I've changed so much my wife is even going to recognize me whenever it is I get back to her. And how I'll ever be able to tell her about days like today."
These lines give you an excellent example of how speakers show uncertainty in everyday speech. In the first sentence, Miller used a common grammatical structure, verb plus a noun clause. In today's report, we will explore this structure and show you how speakers use it in everyday situations.
Noun clauses are groups of words that act as a noun. They often begin with that or a word beginning with WH, such as where, when, why, or what. Here are two examples.
"I think that she is mad at me. I wonder where he went."
In the examples, the main parts of the sentences are the words "I think" and "I wonder." The verbs are followed by noun clauses, "that she is mad at me" and "where he went." By the way, the word "that" does not add any meaning in these types of clauses, so it is often dropped. Instead of saying, "I think that she is mad at me," speakers might say, "I think she is mad at me." If you want to learn more about why the word "that" disappears from sentences, you should read our previous everyday grammar story, "The Mystery of the Disappearing That."
Americans often use a verb plus noun clause structure to show uncertainty. The verb shows uncertainty, and the noun clause shows the idea. Here is an example.
"Excuse me, do you know when the last train leaves?"
"I think the last train leaves at 7.
In the example, the second speaker uses the verb think to show uncertainty. The noun clause, "the last train leaves at 7, is the main idea of the sentence. If a person told you, "I think the last train leaves at 7, you should probably ask another person. You do not want to make your travel plans based on uncertain information. Speakers show certainty by stating ideas in a simple sentence. In these cases, they generally do not use the verb plus noun clause structure. Think back to the conversation about the train. how could the second speaker give a certain answer? Let's listen.
Excuse me, do you know when the last train leaves?
The last train leaves at 7.
Susan Conrad and Douglas Biber are language experts. They note that Americans often use three verbs to show uncertainty. These verbs are think, believe, and guess. Americans often use the verb think in the present and past tense. Think shows some amount of uncertainty, but the exact level of uncertainty that it shows varies among speakers. How can you tell how uncertain a person might be? One tip is to listen to the pitch of the speaker's voice. The pitch can often give you a clue about how uncertain the speaker is. Consider these examples.
I think the bank is open today. I think the bank is open today.
In the former example, you can hear more confidence in the speaker's voice. In the latter example, you hear far less confidence. In conversation, think has a similar meaning as believe. Believe is slightly less common and slightly more formal. So instead of saying, I think the last train leaves at 7, a speaker could say, I believe the last train leaves at 7. The two sentences have the same meaning and show similar amounts of uncertainty. Once again, the pitch of the speaker's voice can give you information about how uncertain he or she is.
A third common verb of uncertainty is guess. Guess, according to Conrad and Biber, is very common in American English, but rare in British English. Americans almost always use the verb guess in one way. I guess. The phrase still shows uncertainty, but it tells you that the speaker's claim is probably based on evidence. Here is an example.
He was smiling as he walked out the front door. I guess he got some good news.
In the example, the first sentence gives some information about the situation. In the second sentence, the speaker makes an uncertain statement based on the information in the first sentence. Let's go back to the fictional Captain Miller from the film Saving Private Ryan. He gives you another example of how guess can show uncertainty in everyday speech. Remember, Captain Miller was talking about being a teacher before he said these lines.
So I guess I've changed some. Sometimes I wonder if I've changed so much, my wife is even going to recognize me whenever it is I get back to her. And how I'll ever be able to tell her about days like today.
In the first sentence, Miller says, I guess I've changed some. He is showing uncertainty about how much he has changed from his former life as a teacher. Perhaps he does not want to admit that he has greatly changed.
The next time you are watching a film or speaking with an American, try to listen for examples of uncertainty. Ask yourself how the speaker shows uncertainty. Does the person use the verb plus noun clause structure or a different structure? Learning the subtle ways that people communicate in another language can be difficult. But with time and practice, you will succeed. We are certain of that. I'm John Russell.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.